Our reading this afternoon is from the book of Genesis and from chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And then a chapter further on, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this year at St. Giles in 2020, we're taking part in something called the Year of Biblical Literacy, a year where we're spending time getting to know God and experience God through the scriptures. So today, across all our services, we're looking at God's promise to Abraham. So the main point of the story today, this is the one thing I want you to remember. If you remember nothing else, if you switch off, if you fall asleep, if I'm really boring, remember this bit. The covenant God made with Israel is because Israel needed God. And that means then for us, we need God too. So the theme of everything we look at in Scripture drives us back to that point of remembering that we need God. God made that covenant promise with Israel because Israel needed him. So when we get to that first reading today, the reading from Genesis 12, we see a little bit of a change in direction of the story of Scripture. Genesis 1 to 11 tells us the story of a very primitive people, people living in pretty chaotic situations. We've got the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, all chaotic situations. There was not much hope looking forward. God had just scattered his people across the earth. He'd confused their language and he'd separated them from each other. So what does God do about this chaos and this hopelessness? We see that he chooses one nation. In fact, he chooses one family. And we see in this story he chooses one man, Abraham. He's chosen to have that unique relationship with God so that he could spread that relationship with God across the nations. See, God commits himself to this one family. He calls the people of that family, the family of Israel, to that high level of trust and obedience. So what we see here is God making a promise and a commitment to redeem his people. It's God who's reaching out to them. It's God that's around them. God's the foundation. God's empowering it. But yet, he's asking for something from them too. He's calling his people to have faith. He's calling them to obedience. He's saying that the way they live, it really matters. See, both God and Abraham's family had to promise something. Now, if I was God in this story, I think if I was going to pick one family and one man to start everything from, I'd probably pick a wealthy, young individual, someone who was influential, someone who was faithful, someone who'd have a proven track record to make my covenant with. But we see that's not what God does, is it? Abraham and Sarah aren't a young, wealthy couple. That's not who God had chosen. And they weren't even following after him. God chose an older couple with no kids, no real wealth. In fact, they weren't followers of him. They used to worship the moon. They were far away from him. Yet he chooses them and he's going to draw them into himself. And God makes that promise to Abraham. He says he's going to make him into a great nation, that he's going to make his name great, that he'll be a blessing, that he will bless those that bless him, and he will curse those who curse him. And lastly, he tells them that all peoples on the earth will be blessed through what God is going to do in Abraham. I think that's quite a lot for Abraham to take in, isn't it? A man of 99 years old, who has no children, is going to have a family which will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. A man of 99 is going to be a blessing to others, and everyone will be blessed through them. So God makes this promise that we see in these readings into what we call a covenant. And we can read more about that in Genesis 15. And if you don't know what a covenant is, it's a legal agreement. We still make them today. We make the covenant promise of marriage. It's an agreement that was ratified by blood, by a God who cannot lie and never abandons when he promises something. And by making this covenant, by making this agreement in blood, God does something amazing, because he's securing everything that he said to Abraham and says that it will come true, because it's a covenant that he's made, that legal agreement. If you were Abraham at that point in time and you were doubting and you were wondering, which I'm sure we all would, could God fulfill this? Could he do it? Could God really work through me? Well, I think that covenant promise, that marking in blood, would have been an incredible blessing and security for him. So as we see in the rest of Israel's story, whenever they're in deep trouble, whenever things are going wrong, whenever things are going bad, there's always an appeal back to this moment in Genesis 17 and Genesis 12. And all the way forward, when we see up to Galatians 3, there's still an appeal back to God said he would do it. And he does do it, we know. There's a deepening in trust in who he is and what he's done. And we know if we read on, God begins to make some of those promises pretty quickly. Things that seemed impossible, he makes possible. We see that Abraham and Sarah had a child, Isaac. That begins that chance, doesn't it, for him to have offspring as numerous as the stars, something that couldn't have happened before. Now, I think it's likely to many of you guys here who are maybe closer to Abraham's age than I am, that it would be even more shocking when God tells Sarah that she's going to become pregnant. Can you imagine that today? It's quite a funny thing to think of, isn't it? A couple 100 years old walking into the Barrett maternity home saying they're going to have a baby. I'm not sure anyone would take them seriously, would they? It'd probably be too late by the time the baby comes. But God does it. And that's the amazing thing in this story. See, God does bless Abraham. He's making it so clear in the story and at this point in time that his promises will be accomplished. And Romans 4 drives it home for me when the Apostle Paul is teaching us further on this passage. It says, Abraham grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. It was written for our sake also, these promises, to give us confidence in who God is. So what can we take from this passage today? Well, I want to draw us back to that first thing I said. Firstly, I think this passage really shows for us today that we need God. Israel needed God. He needed God to come and make this covenant promise, to help them to be faithful throughout all of the difficulty that they faced. And as we know the story of Israel, that they slipped up, that they often failed. But God is a God who's gracious. I think we need God today just as much as those Israelites did, just as much as Abraham did. We need God. And God makes that first move for us again. God reaches out and he calls us to live a life faithful to him. And if you don't know God, if you've never walked with Jesus before, we'd love to help you do that. All you need to do is come and talk to one of us. Secondly, I think this story reminds us of the importance of family. God chose a family to form his people from. He chose an ordinary family, nothing special, but God used them in an amazing way. God used that family to build his kingdom here on earth. I feel maybe that God has a word for some of you here today, that God is just reminding you of the importance of your family. And the calling maybe just to focus on your family, to reach out to them, to lead them into faith and lead them in faith. Maybe it's that call to reach out to your children and your grandchildren, to share the good things of Jesus with them, to keep the faith of your family going and to expect God to use your family to build his kingdom. Family is an important thing that we see in scripture, something we should never take for granted, but it's an amazing blessing to us and something we should really invest in. And finally, the third last thing I want to say, so this passage, it reminds us that God's promises always come true. If God promises something to us, it always comes true. Sometimes we know that God doesn't answer those promises straight away. Sometimes he makes us wait. But in this story, we see a God who's faithful and keeps his promises. That Abraham's offspring do grow into that great nation. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people born into his family. And eventually God does bring them into the land of Canaan. And God promises something for each one of us today. God's not going to make us a family that numbers the stars in the sky. But God does promise us something else. He promises us eternal life. Life that we can accept in Jesus here and now. A life that leads us free from sin. That good news of the love of Jesus, of his death on the cross for us and his resurrection, conquering death and sin. And that's something we can get hold of here and now. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for the example of this covenant promise you made with Abraham. Father, we thank you that you are a God who keeps his promises. Lord, this day we say we need you. Father, help us to live a life that is faithful to you. And Lord, thank you for the promise of eternal life. Father, may each of us know that gift of life this day. Amen.